You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Fighting over masks can mean fighting over money. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. There are ongoing battles in certain parts of the country over vaccine and mask mandates. Some are being waged in court. For example, in Texas, where the governor banned mask mandates, then a court put that on hold, and now many schools are requiring masks in defiance of the governor. Another weapon in these battles over mandates is money. In Florida, officials are threatening to cut off funds to school districts in two counties unless they get rid of their mask mandates. The federal government is entering the fray in a similar way. The Biden administration is leveraging money for health care and possibly for education in an effort to fight the pandemic. From Austin, Texas, Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on how this is playing out down there.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been steadfast in his efforts to block schools from requiring masks. But last week, the Biden administration said it would use the power of the purse to try to compel Abbott and other governors to change course.
States always claim that they're sovereign entities and can't be told what to do.
Paul Helmke teaches public affairs at Indiana University.
But anytime they're getting federal money, the federal government can put some restrictions on how the monies are used.
The feds told Abbott they were monitoring whether the state mask mandate ban was in line with fiscal requirements attached to the $18 billion they sent Texas for public schools in COVID-19 relief. But the federal government might have more leverage in healthcare, says Vivian Ho, an economist at Rice University in Houston. Medicare and Medicaid are mostly federal dollars.
But in education, most of the funding is from state taxpayer dollars, so the federal government doesn't have as much leverage.
Biden said his administration would also make employee vaccination a condition for nursing homes to receive Medicare and Medicaid funding. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
U.S. commercial airlines today will begin helping the evacuation effort in Afghanistan. The Pentagon has invoked a little-used program dating back to World War II to enlist airlines in the urgent effort to transport those fleeing Kabul. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The Pentagon is enlisting 18 aircraft from United, Delta, American, and a few other carriers. The planes won't fly into Kabul. They'll go to what the Pentagon calls temporary safe havens and staging bases in Qatar, Germany, and elsewhere to pick up evacuees once they've been transported out of Kabul. The Pentagon is enlisting airlines for only the third time in the history of the program, called the Civil Reserve Air Fleet. The last time was during the Iraq War in 2003. American and Delta say they'll start relief flights today. They're sending three planes each and say they expect little to no impact on operations. United is sending four planes and says it's still assessing operational impact, but expects it to be minimal. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3-4% range, with the Dow future up 152 points.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Afghans fleeing the Taliban are facing a harrowing journey just to get on a plane. But that is only the beginning of their journey. Afghans who are U.S. citizens or green card holders or have special visas will go on to Kuwait and then to the U.S. The rest are headed to Qatar, and from there, their journey is uncertain. On Friday, we spoke to Matt Zeller, who co-founded a nonprofit called No One Left Behind. It helps Afghans who've worked with the U.S. secure visas and resettle. He described the chaos of the evacuation effort and the logistics involved. Here's more of our conversation, where I started by asking him what refugees coming to the U.S. will need.
When they resettle here, that's where they're actually going to need some really significant resources to come into play. There's some limited government support, and then there's organizations like the International Rescue Committee, Catholic Charities, HIAS. These organizations help these individuals get resettled here, and they can offer limited resources. But those are only going to go to the people who receive the special immigration visa. For everybody else who might come in under something called a P1 or a P2 visa, they're pretty much going to be on their own, which is why we're just saying to Americans, you can't just think of these people as refugees. In a lot of cases, you got to think of them as returning war veterans. And they're going to need all the resources and support that I was given. And unfortunately, because they're not technically legally veterans in our country, they're going to be afforded none of it, unless the American people step up and make sure that that happens. And the only way that that's going to happen is through the private sector. There's no government support for people, you know, in terms of dealing with the trauma of the combat that they've just experienced over the last, you know, 20 years.
It's early days, obviously, but I still can't help but wonder how these people will make new lives for themselves. I mean, the U.S. and Afghanistan are very different places. I mean, what opportunities are there for them here?
When these people arrive here, you're about to meet some of the most industrious and hardworking people on the planet. Let me tell you about my friend Ajmal. When Ajmal arrived in the United States in early 2014, he came here with the clothes on his back, and he found himself in pretty bad circumstances. Nobody knew he was actually coming to the United States, and he ended up actually homeless for a little bit. Today, Ajmal is one of the largest real estate agents in the greater DC area, and he sells exclusively homes to Afghans who have made it to DC and found new lives for themselves. He is thriving. There are businesses that are propping up everywhere by these people, but what they need to get started is that helping hand. They need a first friend. These are a lot of people who are for the first time are going to arrive in a country where the predominant means of exchanging money is a credit card. They've never seen that. So the types of things that people could be doing are, we need to be arranging community support. We need Americans to welcome these people, not just into their homes, but hire them, put them to work in your companies.
Matt Zeller is an Afghanistan war veteran who co-founded No One Left Behind, a nonprofit that helps Afghans who've worked with the U.S. secure visas and finance the resettlement process. Matt, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.